Almighty and gracious God, you call us to wake up and to look for you in places that we have overlooked. Open our hearts this morning and given us a new heart to see where you are working in our lives. It's in your Son's precious and holy name that we pray. Amen. So Jacob woke up one night on his pilgrimage from a sleep, and he proclaims, "Why, indeed, God, the Lord of my father and my father's father, is in this place. I didn't even think that was possible, but now I have seen and I am amazed by the beauty of this place." And I don't think that Jacob's experience of the presence of God on the way to Haran was anything less than miraculous. Believe me when I say that. But I do believe that sometimes we have tried to give the groundbreaking ceremony at Bethel the Hollywood portrayal of glitz and glamour that we think it deserves. Because Jacob himself named that place where he stood beside God, Bethel. He named it the house of God, the dwelling place of the unspeakable, unfathomable Yahweh. But in reality, the journey from Beersheba towards Haran would have taken at least 2 months on foot to walk. Jacob traveled nearly 600 miles in search of a suitable wife that his father Isaac and his mother Rebekah told him to go searching for. From the house of his mother, 2 months of weary walking that led him to Rachel. And somewhere along that grueling pathway, through winding mountains and across miles of dry, vast desert heat, Jacob finds a resting place in no man's land. And I'm sure as he reached that place, he was dragging his feet, his water and his sack was running dry. And as the sun was setting behind the mountains, so too I can imagine that the weight of the day was making his eyes roll back into his weary eyelids. And as he lays down for the night, he may have stumbled in the dark, searching for a smooth rock to lay under his head. But on that particular night, on that journey, while Jacob is exposed and alone, God came to Jacob in his vulnerable sleep and reminded him that his people would multiply and be as numerous as the sands in the desert lands. And God promises to be with Jacob wherever he goes. But that promise begins with a man lying on his back in the dark, undesirable wilderness with nothing but a cold stone under his head. Bethel is not the 24-karat gold palace that we have dreamed of in our heads. The gates of heaven did not start out being covered in shiny bronze and glimmering gems. But the gates of heaven were first built out of what the earth had to offer Jacob around him abundantly. The abundance of rocks and dirt and dust. And Jacob probably woke up from this miraculous dream with aches in his back and dusty feet. And yet he still woke up and shouted, "How awesome is this place? I did not know that the Lord was here, but now I surely do." And this morning, I think we all ought to ask ourselves, I need to ask myself, when is the last time that we mustered up enough hope to be able to proclaim from the depths of who we are that this is an awesome and incredible and sacred place. For too long, I think we have forgotten that the Lord is here. And maybe we need to start grasping around in the dark and moving some rocks that haven't been moved for quite some time. And maybe we need to be prepared for God to meet us in the messy and the mundane corners of our lives as much as we expect God to show up here each and every Sunday at 11 o'clock. In fact, I believe now more than ever is the perfect opportunity to be on the lookout for all of the backward Bethels where God lives. Last week, I went home for a few days because I was longing to be with my family as we remembered July 14th, the day 6 years ago when my grandfather died. I wanted to be home, and I wanted to just go and sit in his old, rusty, two-toned pickup truck and eat a tomato like an apple in my dirty hands. And I wanted to remember his life and remember all that his life had taught me about the kingdom of God. A God who's not afraid of dust and rust, but instead is embracing those old dirty things and making them new and full of life. And God showed up in that old hot pickup truck. And God also has been showing up to me in the city I love, the city of Durham that I've grown to know and call home for the past 2 years. Where in the past month or so, people in the community have been camping out outside of the Durham police station. Not because they have to, but because they want to in hopes that they'll make a statement to those in power and say, there are people in our community who are in need of resources and of funding that we could offer them. And so they have set up their own Bethel, their own holy place, where they have slept on the hard ground, the hard cement, in hopes of creating change and saying that those people in our community, those children of God who live in decrepit places, they deserved the full dignity that God gives to them too. And I believe and I have seen how God has shown up in prayer walks where people have, from all walks of life, black and white, young and old, Methodist and Baptist and Pentecostal alike, have shown up to walk and to pray over the places in our cities and our towns that we have too often forgotten about or called the bad side of town. Or neglected. God shows up in those places. God shows up in the dirt that springs forth from the garden, in the black dust that grows things. God shows up. Just as God shows up to Jacob on that sleepy night. And I can't help but wonder if Jacob had trouble sleeping all of those nights before on his journey. Maybe when he tried to lay his head down, the ghost from his past, the ghost of his deceit against his brother, the ghost of fear, the ghost of anxiety. I wonder if every night when he laid his head down, if those fears and anxieties caught up with him and prevented him from sleeping. But yet still, God shows up on that one particular night and gives him the rest that he needs, the hope that he needs to carry onward. And that's what our God does. That's what our God does here, but that's what our God also does wherever you may be sitting, whether it be at home, in your house, or outside, or wherever this life may take you right now. God meets you in those places that seem desirable and those that seem anything but desirable. God has and will continue to show up in all these places. And maybe it is us who have forgotten how to take notice. Because surely the Lord has been in many places that I have walked and experienced, and I have not noticed. Perhaps over these past couple months of not being able to sleep, and being anxious about what my future holds, or being tired and weary and feeling like I am not good enough. Maybe God has been there sending angels up and down to protect me and to watch over me when I could not sleep at night. And maybe I just did not want to notice. My friends, I believe we are loved by a God who is turning over some rocks, and not just for the sake of shaking things up and disorienting us, but I believe God is constantly taking those rocks and blessing and loving the messy places of this world and of our lives and calling them holy, because that's what our God does. God takes our weariness, our despair, our fears, our anxieties, our doubts, but God also takes our greatest dreams. God takes the light and the dark places and chooses to make a home. God's home will be made there because that is how much God is willing to stick around and show us that we are loved. We can never escape that love, our true home. As Maya Angelou says, I believe that one can never leave home. I believe that one carries the shadows and the dreams, the fears and the dragons of home under one's skin. And at the extreme corners of one's very eyes, and possibly in the gristle of the earlobe. Because you see, God is our home. And no matter how ashamed or afraid we are to be able to proclaim that for ourselves, no matter how unworthy we think we are of being a vessel and a dwelling place for the Almighty God, God says that we are loved. God says that our community is loved. And that is hope. And that is enough. The same God that came and spoke to Joseph while he dreamed in a barren and dry land is the same God who today chooses to settle and to make a dwelling place within us. God desires to settle in all of the corners of the earth, near and far, all of the places that surround us. It is because of the love of God, and only the love of God, that we can not only proclaim how awesome is this place, but it is because of that love that we can also proclaim how holy is this ground, and how sacred are the people who live here. How loved are you? How loved am I? How much God cherishes this world. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we know that you are here. We may have forgotten for a while, but we feel it in our bones that you are not afraid of our weariness. In fact, you are so attracted to it and so jealous for us that you would stop at nothing from reminding us that we are loved and we are cherished. God, help us to know this for ourselves so that we will have the strength to go out and tell others that they are loved and cherished, that the places where they lived are worthy of the dignity of God, no matter what the world may have to say about them. For God, you turn our darkness into light. But God, you also are not afraid of the darkness. And you reveal to us things in the darkness that we maybe could not see in the light. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the love that you never stop pouring upon us. And we thank you that you do not remove yourself from us. Amen.